Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. It's time for BT and Sal to jam it up the A-gap.
Hi, BT. A week in review here in the NFL. Only 3 weeks to go. Hard to believe. And I'm looking forward to doing the power rankings with you on Thursday because there's probably going to be some changes for both of us amongst those five. The number one thing for me, in general, we talk about the sloppy play. But did you see that? We didn't talk about it yesterday. There were two times this weekend where players dropped the football before crossing the goal line. Jonathan Taylor did it for the Colts, which became a big thing. The Bengals did it. I forget to say the name of the player, but a defensive player on the Bengals did it. Dropped the ball right before the goal line. Like, that is unacceptable. It just can't happen. Taylor said, oh, it should never happen. He's right. It should never happen. Then why'd you do it? If I were a head coach, I would have a rule telling every player that when they catch a touchdown, you are to bring the ball back to me. That would prevent everybody from doing it. Make it like it's glued to your hands and your body. Hand it off to me after you get in the end zone. The ref says touchdown. Then you can bring it to me on the sideline because that just can't happen in any way, shape, or form.
You know, I love him as a running back, but that's an unforgivable mistake. That's just, you know, that's just showboating at the highest level. That's trying to put on a show and kind of losing sight of where you are. It should never happen. It's ridiculous. Now, I've got my first one here. What derailed the Eagles' season last year? Probably chemistry, right?
So do you seem that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a Sirianni and obviously some bickering in the locker room, and it just went off the rails. Well, it was thought to be, even though they were winning, but that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown relationship was deemed irreparable. Guys going on radio down there in Philly, and everybody kind of taking a guess, you know, was it over a woman or who knew? I mean, just when you hear guys saying it's just unforgivable guy to guy, what else can you really think? And what you do is you try to fix it by shoving the ball down A.J. Brown's throat, which is what they did. 11 targets, 8 receptions, 110 yards, a touchdown. And did you notice the celebration? Did you see the celebration between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown?
Yes, I did. It felt a little
choreographed.
Yeah.
It might have, but that could thaw whatever, you know, has gotten in the way of their once very, very, very warm relationship. So, yeah, I'm sure that they were doing that for the cameras to kind of mitigate the dissenters outside the building. But whatever it takes, hey, it worked.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of – we could go over every game. To me, Tua was awful. Two things that stood out just from different games. I don't need to go into great detail. Tua Tagovailoa was awful in that game against the Texans where the Dolphins had a chance to still be a postseason team. And he's just throwing the ball up for grabs every time. He's got – he – can be accurate at times and look like the best of them when he's on. When he's off, he looks terrible. And then of note, BT, the Chargers getting blown out, which doesn't happen, and Baker Mayfield and the Bucs lighting them up. Those two things, just from a game standpoint, I'll have one more after you go here, but
yep.
Those two things from a game standpoint stood out to me.
I'll tell you, somebody who never really gets mentioned, understood, I mean, maybe if we're doing a national show or a different part of the country, he would be mentioned a little bit here, but I think this coach deserves a lot of credit. D'Amico Ryans has pieced this thing together out there in Houston. I'm not saying that they're going anywhere in the postseason. That's not my point. But the mark of a good leader of men, the mark of a very good coach, even though he's only in year two, is when you are bombarded with injuries and you're given excuses to lower the standard of play, you still find a way. I know it's not a very good division. Trust me, I get that. But D'Amico Ryans has been there for 2 years, and he's now secured two straight divisional titles. And they started off very well. Then both of their receivers went down. They've had some other injuries, including on the defense. They can't stop the run that well. Their offensive line's a disaster. And again, you're a product of who you play, and their division is not good. But D'Amico Ryans is a good coach.
Well, off that note, how about Todd Bowles?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I know it's a tough one.
I respect Todd Bowles.
I mean, the Bucs with Baker Mayfield, like, the knock on Bowles is, all right, he's going to go there with Brady, a ready-made situation. Obviously, hasn't been great for Tampa, but now Brady has left. They get Baker Mayfield in there. They play good defense. Their offense can light it up. They're the best team in the NFC South by far. I don't care what the records say. They're one game better than Atlanta, the pathetic Falcons, who barely won last night against the Raiders. Todd Bowles should get some credit. And then my final point was going to be just that. Desmond Ridder, I touched on a little bit with Baldy. Dude. This is a guy who was a starting quarterback for the pathetic Falcons a year ago. Got Arthur Smith fired. Now they're playing against him and they could barely beat him. And he is the worst quarterback. And he's throwing the ball up for grabs. He's afraid to throw it. Desmond Ridder can't be in the NFL. What the Raiders put out on the field last night, really in general, what the NFL put out on the field last night between Kirk Cousins, who's another awful quarterback. What a mistake that is. It's Michael Penix time. It should be in Atlanta if they want to potentially make the playoffs here. But what that game did, to me, set football back. Like, you brought this up the other day, saying if you enjoyed the NFL this year.
Mm-hmm.
And certain parts of it, I have. But when you actually think about the quality of play, with the penalties, with the poor quarterback play, with the officiating, it's not very good. And I'll tell you something. On Christmas, the NFL could kiss my ass. I'm not watching those games at 1 o'clock on Christmas Day. Like, I'm not going to be a slave to it anymore. They shove it down our throats. It's a product that is inferior to what it used to be, and yet they oversaturate the market with, oh, yeah, games at 1 and games at 4. Screw you and your family and inconveniencing you.
Yeah.
We're going to put these games out here. Well, guess what? This is where I punch back next week. You could play games all weekend. I'm off. I'm not watching them. I don't care. If it's on, it's going to be background noise. Steelers, Chiefs, I'd love to watch that game. I'm not doing it on Christmas at 1 o'clock.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Are you going to check in on the Knicks who tip off at noon on Christmas Day?
That's possibly.
More of a, exactly. So that's more of a tradition going back to Ewing and the Bulls back in the day. And obviously, I always loved that as a kid. Yeah. I mean, the NFL at some point later on in the day, because I've got a lot of, you know, I've got some family coming in, whatever. It'll be out of the background.
You mentioned it's different with the Knicks. You could throw the Knicks on.
And you don't have to be wrapped up in the every
like you're
single
in.
Possession.
You're not betting it and really intense with the games like the NFL.
To make some money on the NBA, take the over. And a lot of three-pointers attempted and made these days. But no, I'm not going to be, you know, immersed in the NFL on Christmas Day. I'm going to enjoy my family. I'm going to enjoy some food, have a little bit of wine, do a little cooking, do all that stuff. My third thing, if I said to you, Sal, give me general statistical parameters for Aaron Rodgers in August to be a successful season for the Jets. Yards. Give me a ballpark yards.
Total?
Yeah, just total yards.
For the
without
year?
Thinking too much. Yeah.
3,500?
Okay. How about
4,000?
Okay. How about touchdowns? In the neighborhood of how many touchdown
passes? Over 25.
Passes? Okay. And how many picks, obviously?
Under 10.
Okay. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is on pace for 3,950 yards, basically 4,000. He's on pace for 30 touchdowns and 10 picks. Now,
30 and 10.
I mean, that, you know, and you were actually saying this probably more than I was.
That he's not the problem.
Well, yeah, my punchback on that was always, yeah, he might not be the number one problem, but he's not often enough the answer, and he was brought here to be the answer.
He throws for 30 and 10, dude.
I mean, it's kind of tough now. He's getting really red hot when the season means nothing. Again, there's always context here. He's had 13 touchdowns and one pick in his last, you know, 5-6 games, and everybody knows that the Jets are out of it. The weather's gotten warmer. Down in Miami looked better. Down in Jacksonville, Jaguars stink. Warm weather. He's putting up some yards, putting up some touchdowns. Okay. but he has not been nearly as bad as people have thought. And if nothing else, at least gives the credence, and we've had the conversation more as we get a little deeper into it here in the offseason, the viability about running it back with Rodgers for one more time in 25. He has not been as bad as people think.
Depending on who the head coach is going to be, I certainly wouldn't want a young first-time head coach in here with Aaron Rodgers. All right, we'll finish up with your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.